evening. What do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
Hey friends, welcome to another episode of the Amber May Show. So glad you're joining me today because I have a wonderful guest. Her name is Ann Tate, is joining me today on the program. And she is a mother and a woman who wants to fight for the protection of children, not only her own and in her community, but across the nation. And she has a wonderful insight with her background of being abused as a child, but also her background in education and the master's thesis she's done and the research she's done, showing the progression of the plans that they have in the public school system to change the minds and hearts of children so they can go towards the communist agenda instead of freedom-loving Americans. And we get into that on today's show. So I hope you like, share, and subscribe. If you believe in what I'm doing, please consider becoming an angel investor. And the easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.com, hit the donate button, and donate whatever you feel you can donate. Or you can be a $5 monthly subscriber by going to theambermayshow.locals.com. I always add more content, so join me on Telegram at theambermayshow. I'm on True Social Amber May or Frank Social Amber May or Clout Hub. Find me in those locations. But I want to talk about freedom because we're talking about freedom in today's episode. You know, Hitler had the Hitler Youth. You know, all the communist dictators wanted to go after the children because they're the next generation. So if they can capture the hearts and minds of children, then their agenda will come forth in the country. So I want to talk about freedom, and the freedom is under attack right here in the United States. And one way you can fight back against the tyranny is going to patriotmobile.com/amber. Because when you use patriotmobile.com/amber, you're going to get free activation on cell phone service. So you're going to break away from the big three mobile carriers and go to a company that believes in your First Amendment rights, your freedom of religion, your freedom to of keeping and bearing arms. A company that values the Constitution. So if you want to value the Constitution too, check out patriotmobile.com/amber. And when you do, use promo code Amber at checkout and you get free activation. Well, without any further ado, I'd love to introduce Ann Tate to the program. Well, friends, like I told you, I have Ann Craft Tate joining us today. I'm so excited about this interview. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I love other mama bears out there that are getting involved, getting dirty politically, you know, getting into the mud, so to speak, because the attack on our children are just so prevalent. And any of us are welcome to go down to our state capitol. Any of us can help write bills with our state legislators. Any of us can do any of those things, but nobody thinks about doing those. But here you are, a mom, and you've gotten down into politics because of the things you have seen that have just angered you. So I want to get into your background a little bit. Who are you, and why did you decide to like try and fight City Hall, so to speak?
So, you know, during COVID, I was a lot of parents woke up. I had my girls are 7 years apart. So I had a fourth grader and a 2 year old. My fourth grader was fully self-sufficient. I never saw one thing that she, and at that point I was like still trusting the government schooling and I was chasing a toddler. And then on August 10th, they started talking about the new transgender, you know, co-ed bathrooms. And I live in a county, it's not Fairfax. It's not Loudoun. It is the fourth biggest division in the state, Chesterfield County. And we have still to this day, the Ralph Northam co-ed bathrooms. I have the forms where, oh, your parents aren't supportive. Okay. Then who's your, I mean, that's still going on in Virginia for people that think we're okay. And so I just went to my first school board meeting because there were so many mothers that are like, the masks enrages people, but the rest of it, they're like, oh, well, it's just too complicated. But so this one meeting at Chesterfield, it was August 10th, 2021. And it, some people refer to it as the shot heard around the world, because it was the day that I was like, this doesn't make sense. We had a Republican board and they adopted both things in under like 40 seconds, couldn't tell what was going on. And from that moment on, I started moving. I was like, this is not right. Because one, I had a child still in this public education, government schooling. Mm-hmm. And so then it was, I have to go looking. Okay. So I started like, okay, equity, what is this? Like, that was like where I started. Like, I was like, the left is the problem. I was one of those parents. Like, most parents are still stuck in is like, the left is just, it's only the left, 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 left. And now that is where it all originated. Now where it has migrated to is, you know, the real problem. And so I started going to school board meetings. And I mean, I've been in like the Senate. I just read porn to the Senate, like the liberal Senate in Virginia.
And I saw that. Could you give us a little a little taste of what you said? I don't know if you have that handy or
the material. So the book, it is one of the most disgusting we found in our high schools. Let's Talk About It is what it's called. You can look it up. It's written literally by porn directors. And when we found this book, we were like, and so I didn't go down there specifically knowing. I just always have different go bags in my car. Like in my 4Runner, it has like sectioned off which bag is which. And they came up, I say they, the left, and they were talking about like book banners again, you know, or your book banner. No, it's actually called grooming. Like, I'm a survivor of child sex abuse through grooming. You're not playing that.
You are?
Yes, I am. Okay. At 6 years old. And so that's a topic. It is the murder of childhood. That's even true. And is that, so when you're graphic sexual material, whether it is actual humans or cartoons of humans, is that you have murdered that child's innocence, and everybody needs to get rooted in that idea and not back. It is grooming. Mm-hmm. I am not saying that you are going to molest my child. You are going to rape my child. You are grooming them into be accepting of a behavior that puts them in a position to where their natural childhood boundaries of stranger danger or ew, that's gross. Like all these normal things that I know when that went out the window for me was when I was exposed to graphic sexual material, and is that it does lead to a life of where a child's brain cannot process this, and it never leaves the child's brain. So they got up and they started talking about Huckleberry Finn. And I was like, no, they didn't. You know, like the left. They're like, you know, Huckleberry. And the senator, like Shuler Van Valkenburg, was joking. Like, I hear that's going to be in town next week. Sounds like they were just like, And I was like,
making fun of you.
I was like, this was before I spoke. I was like, okay, you want to go? And I grabbed
You're all taking your earrings off. You're like,
this. No, seriously. Yeah. I'm like, people, when I walk in, it's like the whole, they're like, it's both parties. They're like, but it's like, I'm okay with that. I'm okay if when I leave the General Assembly and the most hated woman in the room, because I have fought for God, country, mm-hmm. and my children, and I don't mm-hmm. have an allegiance to a political party. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, is so I went up and I said, so here's the thing. I'm going to read this book to you. And because we had a delegate shamed on the floor last year, even though he asked the pages to leave, like the underage pages, happened at the school board. I read this book at the Board of Education. And I said, and before I start, do not Tim Anderson me. And they looked at me and they went, and that was the delegate's name. And they knew exactly what I was talking about. And I was like, don't shame me. You give this to my children. I'm asking anybody watching or in the room that is a minor to please leave. And this was a book about, it is this thick. It is graphic. And I'm talking about like pages of girls' parts and different ways that you masturbate. Then there's there's a whole section on anal plugs and how to a butt. And that, if you didn't think it could get worse, there's an entire section on kink. if you're not into sex, but perhaps maybe kink is your thing, like hanging people from ceilings. And then it gives you
a lot of people end up dying out of asphyxiation. They can't get a lot of enforcement come to scenes all the time where people have asphyxiated themselves and then they can't get out of it. And they die. Yes, exactly.
But this book goes on and saying it's like it says porn sites are a great way to find your people. Like, absolute lunacy. Like, this is one of those books that, like, you find and you're like, this is the clown world. And I just wanted to clarify what we are and are not talking about. Because I'm not even one of those moms that's like, oh, Twilight or Judy Blume. Like, there were Judy Blume books around when I grew up. Okay. It's like the moms that are, I'm like, you can go for that. Like, good luck. Okay. The graphic, like, and it's not just sexual, the killing, the murder, the graphic novels that are in these schools of like children, like police, like stabbing police officers, like, is that it is out of this world. And the parents that are just like, and the common is that they're like, my child's just resilient. They'll be, you know, they know better. And I'm like, I come from a family where I have siblings that are like, this is just the world today. And I'm like,
no,
like I'm the alien in my family. Like, and it is atrocious. And then
we're supposed to accept this style of behavior. I mean, there's a reason why sex was for adults, because their children's mind are not mature. Their bodies are not ready for that either. I mean, God didn't make children sexual beings. He made them innocent. Remember what the Bible says, that it's better for you to tie a millstone around your neck than to harm one of these little ones. That's how serious God takes the protection of children. And that's how serious God takes anyone who wants to abuse children in any kind of way, whether it's a physical touch or a mind warping touch, because you're right. Any adult now, like if you talk, like for instance, you talk about when they were young and the things that they got into growing up from the first encounter of a sexual experience, whether they saw porn in the alleyway, a movie, a book, or sexual assault happened to them. It sent a lot of people down a different path that they wouldn't have gone.
I've been clean 16 years. Like, that's part of my story. And I'm not ashamed of it, because I do not believe that God would put me through everything I've been through mm-hmm. in my life if it was not to have the story and the mm-hmm. foundation to do what I do every single day. Mm-hmm. And it is literally fighting the entire world. There are days I feel like is because I have a bachelor's in journalism, which led me to become a professional researcher. And I have a master's degree in geopolitical war history of the 20th century, something I never thought I was going to use. I was just enthralled and I did my master's thesis on appeasement. And so pre-World War I to post-Vietnam, which is Lenin and Bolshevism through Maoism, is what my master's is in. Wow. And I was just always enthralled in it. And so the intersection of how my life with being a researcher, a journalist, when you involve mainstream media, mm-hmm. and then how many dictators, like I'm sitting here looking at a presentation I did, like from Lenin to Stalin to Karl Marx to Gromsky to Hitler. And it's like literally what we're living through. Like,
yeah.
Like Lenin said, give me 4 years to teach the children mm-hmm. and the seed I have sown will never be uprooted. Give us the child for 8 years and it will be a Bolshevik forever. Give me just one generation of youth and I'll transform the whole world. The goal mm-hmm. of socialism is communism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Stalin said, education is a weapon whose effect depends on who holds it in his hands and at whom it is aimed. Ideas are far more powerful than guns. Why don't we let our people have guns? Why should we let them have ideas? And it's just shocking to me. And even Hitler, the state must declare the child to be the most precious treasure of the people. Mm-hmm. As long as the government is perceived as working for the benefit of the child, the people will happily endure almost any curtailment of liberty and almost any deprivation community. that one there, I'm like, people are like, huh? And I'm like,
I think you need to repeat that one again because it's very powerful what you just said.
This is coming from Hitler. Mm-hmm. Yes. The state must declare the child to be the most precious treasure of the people. As long as the government is perceived as working for the benefit of the children, the people will happily endure almost any curtailment of liberty and almost any deprivation of community.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
So many of us think that sleep is a luxury. Sleep is not a luxury. Sleep is a necessity. It's going to help you restore all your bodily functions, help your body recover, recoup. It's something that we need to function on a daily basis. We need to feel restful. And if you're not feeling restful because you're not getting a proper night's sleep, then I have something just for you. I just absolutely adore Dr. Stella. She comes out with some great supplements. And here's one of the newest ones she came out with, and it's Kobe Sleeps. So if you have trouble going to sleep at night and you want a more restful night's sleep, go to drstellamd.com, go to her supplement section and purchase this and use promo code AmberMay, one word, and you'll save some money there. Not only does it help promote a more restful night's sleep, it helps with stress and joint function. So if you have stress, you have joint function, you're also not getting a good restful night's sleep, you need to go to drstellamd.com, get these Kobe Sleep Bites right now, and save money by using promo code AmberMay.
Hi, I'm Dr. Artis, and you're watching me live on the Amber May Show. Stay tuned.
For those of you that are preppers out there, I've partnered with Prepper All Natural. Prepper offers amazing high-quality cooked and freeze-dried beef along with long-term storage. Eat well today and tomorrow. And you can check out their food at freedomfirstbeef.com. That's freedomfirstbeef.com. And when you're there, use promo code AMBER at checkout to save some money. So freedomfirstbeef.com, promo code AMBER at checkout.
You are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
And it's like, that's one that people, like a lot of them are like, oh yeah, we all heard, you know, Stalin, but you know, that one, it's like, well, what? Mm-hmm. Because what are they telling us? Let's do mental, your children are mentally ill, right? Mm-hmm. So send them back into the government schools that inconveniently made them mentally ill, mm-hmm. for 100 different reasons. And I get into this debate. I was in someone I consider a patriot. It's like everybody can, even the, you know, freedom call, everybody's so freedom oriented, mm-hmm. except when it comes to government schooling, they get really confused and it's really too hard to understand. Like we just like the legislation that brought these school-based mental health facilities in.
I talked briefly about that on a previous episode a while back because they called it community schools, and they were incorporating a lot of social workers and medical facilities inside the school system.
Right. So we have a new governor, right? Okay.
Yeah.
This is his right help.
Is your
right
governor Youngkin? Is that your governor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right help right now. Transforming behavioral health care for Virginia's children. And it talks about mobile units. Okay. Mobile, like mental health crisis units coming to mm-hmm. the schools. Like here's his, right help right now, like mobile crisis teams, crisis receiving center slots, Medicaid. And this is all paid for by Medicaid.
Medicare. Uh-huh. Yep.
Medicaid is that
Medicaid. Yep.
Medicaid is paying for all of this. And so as your schools complain about, we don't have enough money. Okay. So hold up, all that money that you've been paying for that stuff. Let's rewind and let's talk about. Yeah. So community schools. And then what we have is called communities in schools. Now that would be Allen.
See Medicaid, mm-hmm. school-based health clinics.
Yep.
From the CDC.
Yeah. And so what the reason Virginia has been off the radar is because Virginia doesn't do things the way other states do. We don't write legislation that enrages parents to go protest it. We write little blobs and then pass it to the Department of Education. Like, oh, the little blob, it sounds okay. And then we pass it off to an agency. And then there's never any checks and balances on what that non-elected body is doing to our children. But it's like, so we've had communities in schools for 35 years. Okay, this would be Allen and Warner
a Republican and a Democrat did this. Now, it used to be this thing is that then over the years, it became, it was like, you know, for, you know, underprivileged children, it starts one, it's one of those things that starts out one way. And mm-hmm. if you're not paying attention. Mm-hmm. And so we have communities in schools, and then, you know, we have everything. Every other is that that's how I started was, okay, I'm hearing about that. And that's how I got into social emotional learning.
Yeah. You need to talk about that. Cause a lot of people think that there's nothing wrong with that. Regular everyday great parents don't see anything wrong with that. And it's because they hide the truth behind the words that sound good. It sounds right.
And so this is what I tell people mm-hmm. is so it'll tell you. So you think that they're teaching your children about social awareness or, you know, any of the other five castle competencies. Okay. So this castle, you know, the collaborative for what is it? What do they change? Collaborative for academic, social, emotional learning. Like, is that this is Bill Gates, this is the UNESCO, this is the Novo Foundation, Robert Wood Johnson, Chan Zuckerberg. And these people have been at it for years, like years. And is that there is not a single program with these same five even if that's all that you understand about it, is that every single program, whether you have Second Step or whether you have Al's Pals or any of the other ones, is that people will say, oh, well, we got rid of Second Step and we adopted this one. They all align to Castle. One is not better than the other, because at the end of the day, they all aligned. So I've got a picture here. So, you know, caring school community, competent kids, caring communities, getting along together, hallway heroes, harmony SEL, I can problem solve, dinosaur school, kindness in the classroom, leader in me. Every single one aligns to Castle. So it is usually.
And what is Castle again?
Yeah.
So Castle is the overarching organization behind this social emotional learning.
It is the biggest Sherman antitrust okay. So it's Allstate, LG, Bill and Melinda Gates, Chan Zuckerberg, the Fetzer Institute, Patrick McGovern, New Profit, Novo, Pure Edge, Rakes, which is atrocious, Robert Wood Johnson, Wallace. So these are all the foundations, like these immense foundations. And so they're like the original founders. You know, you got Tim Shriver that started this. And people don't, is that, so even if all you know is that across the nation and your state, you have every child being taught the same social emotional learning, which even if that's all you know, it's like, when did we start accepting like cookie cutter children to begin with? But academics, much less social and emotional learning.
Well, you got to get into that, because like I said, a lot of parents think that's okay. What are the dangers behind social emotional learning? Because it sounds good. It sounds like, of course, we want our kids to get along with other kids. Of course, you know, we want them to problem solve. So what's the, you know what I mean? Like, so
what I would say is how are they behaving now? You know, is if you're not aware of how long they've been doing this without you knowing, and you think it's new to your division to solve the problem of the children behaving the way they are, you need to take a serious look back and see how long you have had no clue about what they're doing. Is so the Biden administration in the ESSER III CARES money, you know, the COVID money, mm-hmm. is when they literally and this involved private schools through the emergency aid for non-public schools, EONS portion of the ESSER money, is they paid off your board of supervisors. It was $2 trillion they paid off for boards of supervisors, privates, daycares, but especially public schools. And if you read these documents, it talks about recovery of loss of learning. You hear that so much. That's what they mean, is it's social emotional learning all the time. And it is systemically embedded into every. So you might have an overt program, like Second Step is in your flex block. And then you're going to have a behavior screener, which they might call it, you know, an assessment. It's a mental health screener. This data sits 75 years post-graduation, and it asks these like seemingly benign questions, like, was the child nice to another child? You know, has the child done something nice? You know, and these teachers are filling these out like, you know, and it's one of those like likely, somewhat likely, like benign questions. But the data that it collects on children is like their likelihood, and it's basically creating a social credit score. It's their like is that the EQ over IQ. And so it's like I tell parents all the time is, you know, we have to be is like I come into the, I mean, conservative teachers, especially, they think this is, you know, I'm like, have you done any actual research without the government telling you what it is doing for your children? Is what where parents get really stuck. Like, have you actually, because it's not hard to find what this really is, because if you were to type in like, so like we have standards of learning for social emotional learning. That was 2020. And so you can pull up our mental, our socials, like our health standards of learning. Literally the second page is CASEL, but that's not the social emotional learning standards of learning. And is that you need to pull up and start asking the questions and looking at your child's assignments. And under the protection of Pupil Rights Amendment, and probably codified in your state, I know it is in my state, is making a point that you have the right to see your child's entire curriculum. I don't ask. And you write your counselor and your principal and you say, I would like to, because they're going to try to tell you due to copyright and we don't have textbooks anymore, you can't see it. Well, I'm not trying to sell it. I'm not trying to take it from you. So just write your principal, your account. I would like to come in and they're sit in the counselor's office because I don't want to steal it from you. I just want to see it. And if they tell you, my school board told me that I had to FOIA it. And this is when I learned to go to war.
Wow.
Is that I said, wait, the school board attorney who does the FOIAs is telling me I can't have it, but I have to submit a FOIA through him, even though I have federal and state law. So I filed OCR complaints at the Office of Civil Rights Protection of Pupil. It is a civil right violation. Mm-hmm. So I filed one. Is that parents aren't, you have to be willing to do the work, because it isn't until, and then at the federal level, you have, that's an OCR violation. And then what I started doing, I started filing bar complaints against my school board attorney. And that's when they started paying attention, was because he doesn't have this, you know, protected immunity. It's much, I can file against him with the email evidence against his bar license and it never goes away.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but CASEL, I realized that I did have it on my resource tab under community schools and mm-hmm. CASEL organization. So social emotional learning's in the middle of it, and their role and influence on federal policy and funding, CASEL priority investment to make social emotional learning with America Rescue Plan funding. So $123 billion infused to K-12 education in America Rescue Plan Act. CASEL is working to expand learning opportunities that integrate social emotional academic learning across in school and out of school time, promote regular data collection on students to ensure structures and resources that support schools and regular collection of data on student outcomes, student and family experiences, and school climate, as well as establish data systems that support analysis of data disaggregated by a key group.
Is that disaggregated, which means when it's aggregated, it's like this. So they'll lie to you, and if you know to ask about data. And so disaggregated means it's no longer anonymous, which is an important word that people need to know.
It's no longer anonymous.
Mm-hmm. They have disaggregated, which means aggregated is like it's all, you know, they're telling you, oh, we're just reporting on black, white, you know, like boy, girl. Gotcha. Disaggregated means they have broken it apart by your student ID, which is like like your ID number. No child will ever have the same. This was all part of the plan. Like,
yep, it is. And so the purpose of social emotional learning has the potential to help mitigate the
Correct.
Racial classes and oppression in the U.S., you know. So I would recommend that you guys go into
So if you want to let me
community schools.
So if you want to let me share screen, I'll share it. Yeah. So this is how easy it is. So it's called transformative SEL. They changed it to T-cell, you know, way before COVID. So all I did in Google was type in Castle Transformative. And I hit images. Okay. So right here. All right. Oh, it's somebody's X. That's why. I'm going to go to CAF-SEL. I usually have these saved. Sorry. I guess I will have to. We'll go to the castles. But they'll tell you. So a form of SEL aimed at redistributing power to promote social justice through increased engagement in school and civic life. It emphasizes the development of identity, agency, belonging, curiosity, and collaborative problem solving. So where you got social justice, redistribution of power. Okay. Even if you could get confused about what they really mean about identity, agency, but right, collaborative is, we're talking about collectivism is the really thing. Like, is
that's
that
exactly it? Collectivism.
Yeah. All the stuff that they're doing is 100%. They're teaching children collectivism, but then they'll tell you exactly, like they'll tell you, oh, social awareness means that. No, it doesn't. Right here. Self-awareness is personal and sociocultural identities, recognition of beliefs, mindsets, and biases. So when they tell you you're teaching your child, oh, we're just teaching them about their self-awareness. So you're teaching them about their sociocultural identity, their belief system that's not yours at your house, mm-hmm. and their biases. They mm-hmm. So they're implicit. What you're saying is that they have implicit bias.
Mm-hmm.
Self-management, stress management, self-care, perseverance, and agency, which is, those are terms that, like, self-care is not self-care like we think of. It is perseverance. It's like agency is not personal agency. It is the collective agency.
Mm-hmm.
Social awareness is perspective taking, like stop and think about what that other child is going through versus you. So that, again, they're breaking down that child's own identity, their own barriers, because that's a big one to do with empathy, which is, oh, what's wrong with teaching my child empathy? Well, if your girl walks into a bathroom and there's a boy, your child is going to go and be shamed for not being a good ally,
exactly,
or having empathy for what that child is going through.
Exactly.
There has been a complete dialectic inversion, is that you're going, okay, and you don't understand that they rewrote the dictionary years ago on that's education. Right. Like, again, so relationships.
Because instinctively, the girl knows this is an uncomfortable situation to be in the same bathroom as a man, as a boy.
Right.
Instinctively, like your red flags go up, danger, Will Robinson. I mean, instinctively, that's what happens. And here in Arizona, they're doing the same thing too. And the students try to get together and protest against the school. The school board, the schools were not listening to the parents, were not listening to the students. The students did a walkout because the boys were using the same restroom as the girls, and it was very uncomfortable for the girls. So the school told them to use the nurse's bathroom.
Yeah.
So the majority of the students just used the nurse's bathroom all day long, didn't go to class, did that.
Right.
And that's what we live in now. That's when you should pull your kid out of public school, because what they're doing with this collectivism, it's the mindset of the government to brainwash the people into doing what the government wants us to do. I think that goes back to what your master thesis was on, doesn't it? Like,
yeah, is that so?
So talk about what you realize and what you researched in your master thesis.
So it's like
also your humanism side too, because you've studied humanism.
So Ayn Rand has this wonderful, and she's like, you know, whether it's fascism, Nazism, communism, socialism, the banality of evil is collectivism.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
The First Amendment is under attack, but did you know you can help protect your constitutional rights by using your cell phone? Patriot Mobile is the only Christian conservative wireless provider that will always support freedom of speech and freedom of religion, and that's why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks, which means you can get the same coverage that you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're supporting organizations like First Liberty, Alliance Defending Fund, Concerned Women for America, and more. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/amber or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use promo code AMBER at checkout. Join us. Make the switch today. patriotmobile.com/amber. That's patriotmobile.com/amber or 972-PATRIOT.
Hey, this is Jeff Dornick, and you're watching The Amber May Show.
Hey, friends. Are you looking for a financial planner you can trust? Well, look no further than EPS Wealth Management. I work with a wonderful team of individuals, and my part in the team is the marketing director and one of the insurance professionals. Our investment strategy works in an up or down market. It actually works harder for you in a down market. So we have an income-based approach versus a growth-only approach. If you are interested in a strategy that's going to work harder for you, even in a down market, are you looking at holding some gold and silver? Well, look no further than EPS Wealth Management, because we can lock in some great pricing for you and have it shipped right to your house hassle-free. How would you like to have a pension income for life? It's a great complement to income-based investing in the stock market, and the whole thrust is more income in retirement than you need and can easily spend so you can do the things you've always dreamed of doing and be able to help others in need and leave a legacy for your family. Income also doubles during times of health problems with where long-term care events occur, like dementia, cognitive impairment, having trouble getting in and out of bed. And even if you spend your account down to zero, your basic income will continue as long as you live. So if any of this financial planning is of interest to you, give us a call. Check us out at iloveeps.com. That's iloveeps.com, and let them know Amber sent you.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
So it's like we can pick apart like what's race Marxism and what's cultural Marxism, what's Marxism, what's, you know, Bolshevik. But the overreaching art of all of them is collectivism. And so a perfect example is that here in the red state of Virginia, when we had our enormous win with the governor 2 years ago. But unfortunately, last year, the history standards of learning that most of the nation heard was whitewashed. It's brainwashed, because in kindergarten civics, sharing basic five-year-old stuff, right? Except it went to sharing for the well-being of others. And is that we have also turned into this medical stuff into a, we have accepted as Republicans and conservatives that the government should be doing socialized welfare, which is what mental health, Medicaid, all the school, it's for the good of the children. Remember what Hitler said. Mm-hmm. And so I had never really thought about the impact of my masters, you know, until I was told for day one, put a mask on. For what? My initial reaction. For what? Explain that to me. No. And all I heard was just put it on. And all I heard was just put the star on. And people were like, oh my God, it's so radical. It's so crazy. And
no,
I was like,
that's where my mind went. That's exactly where my mind went. And then also my mind went First Amendment, right? Freedom of speech, gone. I'm covering my mouth.
I said no.
Went there too.
And people were like, it broke my family. I mean, I can't tell you all the people, because I
said, a lot of us lost people. A lot of us did.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in Blacksburg, Virginia, I was able to find this, you know, this Hungarian woman who, they were not persecuted in Hungary. And what her family, now she was 7 years old, she was very young, but what the process of appeasement looked like and what she had to live with, and that constantly, you know, attrition is that constantly handing over a little bit at a time, hoping mm-hmm. that this can't get any worse. Attrition, appeasement is how 11 million people ended up dead across Europe. Is
that's right.
A bunch of an entire continent, plus then you've got the other continents that sat and did nothing. But she's talked about how in her village, Her name was Dorothea by the time I talked to her. Is in her broken, is she talked about the guilt that they sat and watched, you know, she said we never turned anybody in, but we definitely shut the door on people. We turned our backs on people. And then it was literally watching people, the rail cars be built, watching them pack these people in, and the whole time just thinking of, you know, and it got, of course, then by the time they got to the point where they were like, we've given in so much, you can't get it back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so true. And it's like, so it's like, whether it's critical theory, queer theory, transgenderism, whether it is children should be, you know, trans, from what is that, if you don't notice the slow progression of what happens when you feed a black hole,
mm-hmm.
it gets bigger. And then you feed it, like it's happened here, is that like the ACLU, Equality Virginia, all these people are, no, what we, you're doing what's wrong for these 2% of the children, screw the rest of them. Like, and people are caving left and right as if they don't have any common sense to say, to stand up and say, no, I'm sorry. Like, absolutely not. Like, people are buying into this actual idea. And what they don't realize, and this is what's really important, is that if the age of consent, you have cracked the door wide open. Yes. NAMBLA is drooling.
Oh, yeah.
Is that if children can decide what gender they are without their parents, this is like the whole thing about, if you don't understand, you know, where this comes from, is that if you don't think that the door is cracked open for them to just kick it.
Yes.
Is that you get enough states to pass law, like laws like Virginia has, like, or that's actually, you're done once you get enough
and
states.
And they can this. Also use the argument that they can't control who they love. They love who they love. So why
right. should Max, they be punished? Minor attract, that you're not pedophiles mean.
Yes.
Why should they be punished?
Calling
them a pedophile is mean. Like,
there has to be a point where you draw a line in the sand that says, okay, this type of relationship is not acceptable. But because we haven't done things the way God has instructed us right. to go, now we've gotten to a point where we've positioned our children to be in a danger position, where these groups, these people that have a sick, twisted mind towards children can easily.
They're
now,
turning your children against yes, you. Like, yes, they I are. Saw it with my 11-year-old. I got, thank God that I woke up in time. She was, it was awful. Like, sixth grade, right after COVID, had a mask on. You know, she was just in a dark place. She'd been bullied for years. They didn't care. And I was like, what did I do wrong? You know, when I finally had this, and then she came home one day and she said, Mommy, she said, I have generalized anxiety disorder. I need to see a therapist. It's like today, whoa. The majority of parents would just, because of this constant talk about children are mentally ill, right?
Yes.
Is the majority of parents would say, okay, let me call the school and find out the best place to take you. You need to stop and say, where did you get that language?
Yes.
Because that's what I did. What did you just say? General. And then she was talking about, like, they're so toxic at school. And so get a parent portal, whether it's Canvas, Schoolology, you have one. And if your school has not notified you how to get one without having to access their curriculum, I just started pulling up her modules and looking at them. And I started at sixth grade, the amount of anxiety they were talking about, the amount of suicide they were talking about without my consent in health class. And that's when I started going, what in the is this? And then I, you know, dug in and I found an assignment teaching my daughter, it was the opioid module. Okay, this is not DARE, okay, is that they were teaching her, oh, if you abuse it when you're not supposed to, you know, it'll make you warm and fuzzy. And then they gave her all the names, explicit hydrocodone, oxycodone, every name. Then they gave her all the pictures. I'm talking about, like, crushed up pills with a dollar bill, a piece of foil with somebody smoking it with a pipe. And then, so you've now, my child's 11, you have desensitized her now to things that she would never be exposed to in my household. Like, orange bottles are now not something that a child, they're not something that a child will laser focus on. When she sees one now, is that she's going to say, oh, let me check and see if it has these names I was taught. And I know that it's going to get me warm and fuzzy. And then they also get, why would you ever show children crushed up pills? Like, that is the thing that I'm like. And then they send her home with an assignment on top of that, asking her what was in her house.
So they can spy on the parents?
Yes. And then they asked her once you then search the internet, which means she would have to open the bottle to see the pill. Search the internet and post an image of the pill. It's not, this is the thing I tell, and it was put into all 12 middle schools. And now this is when my daughter's principal was like, he was trying to be as bureaucratic as possible. As soon as I showed him that, he was like, not us, 12 schools, Chesterfield did it. Like, he was not trying to take the blame for that at all. And
yeah, but he didn't even try to stop it at all either. Well,
he didn't know it was there. Is that's what people have to understand too, is that if you think your school board has any idea what's going on, sorry. It took me 2 years to get them to even look at social emotional learning, to even request to see the curriculum that they just adopted from the prior school board. And is they don't even know what it is, because they're all being told what to do by somebody else. They're not actually. So you're electing a Republican. You got a Republican dominant. Congratulations. So mm-hmm. do I still. Mm-hmm. And we've still got more madness than anybody. Mm-hmm. They're actually worse because they're harder to. They give the illusion that we're safe now.
Yeah, it's so true.
I work around the state and I talk to Republican school board members. Oh, we took over our school board. Congratulations. It's 6 months later, nothing's changed.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. And I started looking, and I said, but here's the challenge. If my child, because now we've got a rising weight of what? Drug overdoses,
suicides,
transitioning
out of their sex, suicides,
bullying. But is that if my child OD'd, or in my house from medication that somehow she found in my house. I did not give her the roadmap. I did not give her the how-to, the assignment, the go seek, open the bottle. I didn't give her any of that. As a parent, I would be held responsible for my child's death, have my other children taken from me.
I'm glad you said that, because that's where I want to go really
quick. We've been talking about rights for so long that nobody talks about responsibilities anymore. No,
because what the goal is, you go back to that quote about Hitler, that Hitler believes that the child belongs to the state. And that's the mentality in our government right now.
As long as you sell it as
across the board,
well-being of the child. Right.
Our government believes that our children are not our children. Our children belong to them. And we are the barrier between us, our kids, and them. And they want to take us out. That's why because you've done a lot of bills regarding safety of children. And I've been running bills too here in Arizona, because it's so easy the way now you've just explained that the school is spying on you and your family without you even knowing. And they're already, I showed you the document and you've talked about it too, that they're collecting all this data, and all it takes for them to do now is to go to CPS or child protective services.
Social workers. Mm-hmm. The amount of Republicans that don't understand, like, I thought I worked for Operation Underground doing research. I've been on recovery missions for child sex trafficking. Is that all it takes? Exactly. There are social workers in schools now.
That's
in Virginia,
it.
They're calling parents, social workers, if your kids miss 10 excuse days. Sorry, parents, but you are now in CPS, and you're in the CPS system. Is that this data that they're collecting, is that they're literally not just figuring coming for your children. And is that it's not even like a left or right thing anymore, is that we've got to get over the us versus them mentality, is because as long as that's keeps us divided, if we are so focused, like I tell people, you've got to move beyond critical race theory and even trans and even the books, as horrible as they are, I call it the fool's errand. You're going to be keep going, chasing your tail, going in a circle, making no progress until your children they're burying you. Unless you get past like the delusion that it is still us and them. That's exactly where the collective they want us.
And trying to fight City Hall with your children is very difficult. They make it very difficult. If you get your child back, consider yourself very lucky, because they will put you through every single thing they can, every loophole. Meanwhile, they've taken all these months and years away from you and your kid. And then there's a deadline that states get paid to adopt your child out of the system. And the federal government pays the state from the social security system.
Yep.
So you're kind of on a time clock here. So the government tries to wind down the clock so that they can get this money. I mean, there's no intention right now in the United States to put families together. You know why?
No.
I know you know why, Anne. Yeah. Because communism needs the destruction of families in order to come into the country. When you have a strong family unit, it's harder to bring communism into the country. That's why Karl Marx was like about separating the family. In sociology, when I studied sociology as one of my minors, one of my professors said, if you want to destroy society, you destroy the family unit. So what are they doing?
That's what Lenin did. It's like
genderism, making people not have families through the teaching kids more and more about the homosexual lifestyle and indoctrinating them into that. I mean, when you're in that lifestyle, you can't have children naturally. You have to adopt. But then they also want to bring in abortions, which kills your baby and also could lead to infertility. So now there's less children to adopt in the in society. You could lose your ability to reproduce because that surgery is very dangerous. They don't tell you the after effects of what it feels like after you've gone through the abortion and the mourning and the loss that you feel after having an abortion that lives with you forever. They don't tell you about that.
No.
So if you see, if you really just take a step back, everything that's been done has been done to affect the family and destroy the family. When the government took control and said, dads, you don't have to worry about feeding your kids, we'll do it for you. That was an incremental step, like you said earlier.
It's the same thing with driving mothers to going to get jobs. It's like, I am a stay-at-home mother in a sense, and I have a husband that I am he's a Marine, but he works 80 hours a week to take care of his family. So I am comfortable in my role as a Christian mother.
Yes.
And you're not going to guilt me because I'm not leaving my children in government education. You're not going to guilt me because somebody else is caring for my children so I can go out and feel like a woman because you told me I had to do that to feel like a woman.
That's
I am a woman as a mother. And until people can get rooted in this idea that all of this was set into place. So what you just mentioned about so when you have people that want to, that are proposing bills like legislation, you know, physician assisted suicide, abortion up until post, is that this is eugenics.
Mm-hmm.
Call it what it is.
Population
control. I have this document. It's at 500 pages. It's called the Secus Circle. And Secus now is that this is written in the 70s. I just happened to find a version. I have to pick.
Which is where abortion became legal in 1971, I think.
72. Yes. And this talks about, it literally says Planned Parenthood is for
eugenics.
Population control. Like they don't mince words about it. Is that you're talking about the eugenics, and that includes Darwin. And then you're talking, you bring in the behaviorists, and that's like a lot of these programs that, so you got Pavlov, you've got Skinner, who created PBIS, which is like the precursor to social emotional learning, and that you've got, you know, Alfred Kinsey was one of the big ones, and he's the reason that 43 states have exemptions allowing the books. And so if you want to fight the books, stop playing whack-a-mole. I think Nebraska did it. I have it written, except we lost our House and our Senate this year, is that go after the exemptions that have been in your state obscenity code, because they came from Alfred Kinsey in the 70s, 43 states. That's how you get rid of the books, is you have to go big or go home, because you can play whack-a-mole with each book in each school until the end of time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know this, then you can challenge people that love these books and say, so you think Alfred Kinsey and the rape and giving orgasms to newborn babies is okay?
I know, it's so gross. Because
that's why these books are allowed. Read your obscenity code.
Yep.
And then that crosses those two you know, you got eugenics and the behaviorists is where humanism came in.
Thank you for joining us today on the Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at the Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Socially Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on the Amber May Show. EBSRA LLC is a registered investment advisor. The information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investment, or investment strategies. Investment involves risk and unless otherwise stated are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategies discussed.